You know, politicians do have to think about what we say. And I think the trouble with Twitter, the instantness of it, is I think there's too many twits might make a twat.
Hello, and welcome to the Open Conservative Project, a new podcast from Sam Colson and Tom Hobson.
Hello.
So this is a new thing that we're doing. We just wanted to kind of get together every couple of weeks and talk about conservative politics. Tom and I first met at university, where we both did politics, obviously.
Yep.
7 or 8 years ago now, something like that?
7 or 8 years ago, something like that now. So I, after graduating, moved to London, and I've been a lobbyist for five or so years, something like that. And Tom, what have you been up to since?
Tom, what did I do? What the hell have I done since? I stayed in Bath for a little bit, but I stayed in the West Country more importantly, so now I'm back down in Devon, where we're both originally from. And I went and got a proper job, became an accountant, which is supremely exciting.
Very good. So any accountancy jokes are really about you and not about the accountants at large.
Okay, fine, yeah, it's not offend the accountants who are listening.
Yeah, but I think it's fair to say, like, we were both very involved with the Conservatives at university. That's really how we met. We were both members of the Bath Conservative Association, and we did lots of, you know, student politicky type things there, including a lot of work in the 2015 general election.
Huge amount of work.
Huge amount of work. I've been much less involved since the 2015 election, really. I worked for an MP for a little bit, but not for all that long after that election. Whereas you, Tom, have stayed much more engaged, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think that probably is fair. So after 2015, I then ended up on the executive of the local association in Bath for a few years, went through a few selections for the 2017 general election and watched, processed really from the inside, and also a few local election disasters, because let's be honest, all those elections around then in Bath were disasters after 2015, before moving down here and witnessing a similar haphazard method to approaching a number of things down in a particular part of Devon.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's going to be a lot more talk about exactly that kind of thing through this whole series of podcasts, really. What is the podcast going to be, Tom? Do you want to try and give, like, an encapsulation of what it's going to be?
Yeah, I can give that a go. I mean, our thought process was, this is, or we have been, grassroots Tory activists, ultimately, and we kind of want to have a discussion as to whether what happens in the national media, the quick and fast stories that Westminster think are so important, actually kind of translates onto the doors or into the activist base, or ultimately localised results in elections, but also localised results for the functioning of the Conservative Party. I think we're also wanting to combine that a little bit with a youth thought towards the party. I know we're not as young as we used to be, but
not quite.
I've only just stopped being a YC, a young conservative. I don't know about you, Sam.
We'll come on to that. But we are about the same age, and so yeah, I think there is a good youth kind of take on this kind of thing, and whether that's, you know, thinking about how young people could get involved in politics, or like how the Conservatives have dealt with the kind of the youth side of the party in the past and what they could do in the future. I think there's a lot to discuss there. But yeah, I think that one of the points you made, you know, trying to contrast the media story of the day with how it impacts local campaigning and how, you know, internally in the party things feel. I think that's a really interesting strand, because ultimately party membership, you know, I think is still quite important, but there isn't that much focus on that in the headlines, because it's all process, right? And everything is like scoops driven, and then you move on to like the next big scoop the next day. I mean, it was only a couple of weeks ago from the time of recording that we were talking about Dominic Cummings, you know, this like blockbuster select committee session. And honestly, like, that was huge. Like, news-wise, there were like 100 stories in that, and no one is talking about them anymore. And we're maybe 2 weeks past that. Like, we are just going to try and slow things down a little bit, I think is the main point.
That Dominic Cummings was a classic. I mean, you watched all of it. I watched almost none of it because I was, you know, working. But I think it is case in point that something massive happens and the rest of us, or a lot of us, just don't pay attention. and what actually cuts through and what makes the difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Dominic, if you are listening, we'd love to have you on. That's the that is honestly, he's my number one guest get. And I think in the future we are planning to get some guests on, but we're going to keep it just us two for a little bit and just try it out and see how things go. So you're very much listening to, you know, episode one. This is it. This is the start of the whole thing. Episode one is going to be about membership. And we're going to focus on a few different things here, like our experience of what being a Conservative member is, what membership really means, you know, today versus maybe what it did 5-10 years ago, the difference between being a member of the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. I think we can both speak to that. We both, you know, have got enough friends and contacts and things that are Labour members, less so with the other parties, but maybe that's something we try and talk about at a later date. What you can do as an actual Tory member these days, you know, how much power you really have over anything. And then what we'd like to see in the future and what the future of membership maybe looks like. So we've got a lot of kind of topics to get through, but we thought it was worth starting by speaking about being a member of the Conservative Party. So yeah. Tom, do you want to talk me through when you became a member? When, you know, the key highlights of your time as a Conservative member.
Key highlights of my time as a Conservative member. I mean, rather tragically, I joined in the run-up to 2010, which is the first time I joined, because obviously my membership's lapsed a number of times. That just happens. With David Cameron as leader of the party and the 2010 general election. And the thought process in my head at the time was this, you know, slightly geeky 16, 17-year-old of... he's the person to be Prime Minister, so why not join the party and see what happens? And it was that election that absolutely hooked me onto politics. What other highlights have there really been of being a member? You know, when you think about what being a member offers you... Actually, Sam, you and I went to party conference that one time. That's one of the things that being a member is good fun about, because you get access to this what I'm going to call absolute chaos... because there's so much going on at party conference, and you're surrounded by supposedly like-minded people, and everyone is involved in politics and wants to talk politics, and that's actually quite good fun. You know, I mean, that's part of the reason why you get involved.
Absolutely. I think we should do a whole episode about party conference at some point, because there's so much to dig into there. And, you know, we went as members when we were students, and then I have since worked... I think I worked 4 party conferences in a row or something like that. And it's just so different when you're there to, like, represent a company, or, you know, if you're there as, like, a bag carrier for someone who's doing a load of meetings, which I've definitely done. Like, it's such a different experience.
What are your highlights of being a membership?
Well, I was going to say, my membership journey, I think I joined as a young Conservative when I was about 16, which just feels way too young to have done that. I mean, really. But I was doing some work experience at the time with my local then candidate who became the MP in my local constituency at home, just because I needed to do some work experience. You know, it wasn't like an ideological thing at that point, but I was well aware of, you know, of obviously like politics as a whole, and was, you know, very fed up with Gordon Brown as Prime Minister and all that kind of stuff, and decided, like you, Tom, that, you know, David Cameron was really the one, you know, to watch. And that's when I joined, and that was great. And I think I remained a member up until maybe my final year of university, when I had a standing order set up. I think it was £5 a year to be a young Conservative at that point. And I was so deep into my overdraft as a student that the standing order failed. That £5 a year wouldn't come out. and so my membership
dire
lapsed.
Times.
Dire times. And I think it was just deemed a non-essential purchase at that point.
Yes.
And I think I probably have become a member kind of occasionally since then, perhaps to get discounted party conference tickets and that kind of stuff when I was working. But, you know, it was a very different thing. I would say I haven't been like a proper member for a good number of years now. In terms of highlights, yeah, party conference is the big one, and just getting into that network is huge. Mm. You know, I met people who... just out campaigning, which I probably wouldn't have been doing if I wasn't a member and on the right mailing lists and that kind of stuff. I've met people campaigning who gave me work experience when I was a student, who kind of opened the door in some ways to me getting an actual proper job and just having something to say at interviews. It's all of that kind of stuff. And that's where I see the real highlights.
Well, that was the value of being a young person as a member of a party and actually engage with it. That was the real value, because you met some seriously interesting people who had very professional careers, who saw something in you that was slightly different because it's very unusual to do it. And you also, you know, working along the same lines, that wanted to make something of it, and you wanted to take the opportunities to go and do it.
Definitely. That
was the fun of it for the both of us, I think.
100%. I think it's why we both really kind of got so involved at university. Bath was a university that was really rigorously focused on getting people into work. The academia was less there, shall we say. You know, and I'm still in touch with academics that work there, you know, I count among my friends. But, like, I think even they would say it is a university focused on jobs, right? And so we were pushed constantly to, like, go and get experience, go and do internships, everybody there. I really can't think of many people in our entire year group from university who weren't almost constantly trying to get or doing internships. Like, it was so focused, especially for a politics course.
So competitive as well. It was so competitive.
So competitive.
But anyway, that's a digression.
We digress.
But it is our experience of the membership as young Conservatives. It is, really. You know, actually, the majority of them, when I think about it, other young Conservative members, are very driven people, by and large. Very driven people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's also the thing of, like, why do you become a member? It's all of those things. It's the door opening, it's the network side of things, I guess, to an extent. Should we talk about what membership is in the Conservative Party versus the Labour Party? Because I feel like that's an interesting point of contrast between the two, and, like, the structures, and I think it says a lot about, ultimately, the parties themselves, like, how their membership is structured.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Let's go for the broad strokes here. Labour, as a member, what do you get? You get actual voting rights in their, like, internal elections. You see, like, videos of Labour conference where they all put up their hand and say, yes, we want mandatory reselection of all of our MPs, or we want, you know, to force out anything that's not super left-wing. Like, all of that is, like, actual voting power that seems to count. Like, they have proper committees that everyone elects, like, seemingly all the time. I follow this on Twitter. Like, there are always elections in the Labour Party for some, like, niche post. And then, you know, Owen Jones will come out and be like, this is the future of the Labour Party. The Sandringham Labour Party, NEC, needs this left-wing candidate on it. That's the absolute be-all and end-all for the Labour movement in the UK.
So what happens in the Conservative Party? You know, someone gets proposed and seconded because they've already been primed for the position, and then it's just rubber-stamped at whatever executive. That is my impression. In fact, this morning, I filled in my form to remain as Deputy Chair Political. And you know, I think the chances of a challenge are pretty slim. I think they're pretty slim.
There's two parts there, right? One is structure, in that, so, like, the Conservatives do have these kind of minor elections, right, where you can elect your Deputy Chair Political, technically, within, like, a constituency association. But if no one's really that engaged, and if no one's really throwing their hat in the ring, which is probably fair to say of a lot of associations, not all by any means, but I would say particularly the rural associations. I think London is a bit different, where it is more competitive, and you have, because, you know, basically everyone that's a Tory in London is also a lobbyist and wants to become an MP, right? So, I mean, that's the only London Conservatives that I know, are all just desperate to get onto the MP ladder. And so they want these little positions, not to demean the Deputy Chair Political, Tom, of your association.
No, that's fine, you can demean it if you want.
And so you get the, like, slightly more engaged people, but it's different in other areas of the country. Is that fair to say, that it's like a geographic divide on that?
Yeah, I'm sure it absolutely is. I mean, I have no doubt there are some really strong associations across the country. You know, they typically translate across to 20, 30,000 majorities for parliamentary elections, and they will tend to control the local council. That's where you'll find them. And then perversely, you've also got these really strong associations where the opposition control absolutely everything and they have absolutely nothing. But they're really motivated to go out and do things. I remember living not too far from you in Islington South, and the association seemed to be pretty on top of things. I mean, I wasn't there for very long and I wasn't particularly involved, but it wasn't an association that was winning much. And I hope none of them are listening and feeling hurt by that, but it's just it's just a fact, really.
Yeah. No, I voted for my local Conservative candidate. We had a council by-election the same day as there were all the mayoral elections and London Assembly member. I voted for my local Conservative candidate then. No
did
idea.
You?
I did. No idea who she was. But I had seen her handing out some leaflets in the park just next to my house, or next to my flat, I should say. So
okay.
So I think you're right. Like, there is that, like, challenger mentality. There's, like, the underdog mentality. Yeah. We've kind of talked about the community of local associations, right? It increases your social life, is that fair to say? In Devon? I don't know.
Tragically, yes, it does. But it does. What's the point of an association if we're going to come back to it? Because a member could just be a member of a national party and, you know, function slightly autonomously and go out and deliver leaflets. And I suppose a member of an association gets attached to whatever fundraising that association has got. And a lot of associations still have a lot of historic fundraising. I mean, I can think of a few in Devon anyway. So, you know, that's a pot of money that people down here don't necessarily just want to hand over to the central party, which is why associations are still sort of functioning, in my view. Membership can just be, as you say, you know, you vote for the leader if you get the opportunity, and you vote for your local candidate every 3, 4, 5 years, whenever the hell either a parliamentary or local election comes up. That can be the minimum that an engaged member can do. And I don't do much more than that in terms of active party process. Whereas you're right, the Labour Party, they've got it going all the time, everywhere.
They've got it going. Yeah, it feels like it. I think that's the thing. Maybe it's because it's like a younger membership. And I don't know, like, but I do know, you know, Labour friends of mine who have, like, been along to meetings, and most of my Labour friends are, you know, basically Blairites, right? That just, you know, happen to join Labour instead of the Conservatives when they're at university or whatever. Like, that's the majority. And they have been to these meetings where they're, like, shouted at by Corbynites. Or, like, you know, hear some, like, horrendous stuff. I don't know, that it feels more engaged, but maybe it's just people shouting louder about being political. And maybe it's that, and I don't really like this phrase. I actually don't, but it's, like, the virtue signalling thing, right? Of, like, it's kind of feels good to be a Labour member because you get to do these little votes and stuff. Not to demean their party.
But I suppose, you know, is that why people join? Because they want to be part of something that they believe in to a greater or lesser extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we just hooked?
I think maybe that's it. And maybe we're missing the wider point, which is, like, why does anyone become political? And is it just a scale of, like, if 0 to 90 is you vote in elections, and then the last 10% of being political is you join a political party. Like, is that the scale? And maybe we're just, you know, we're in that 10%, and we're talking about the 10% here.
Well, it's not even 10%, is it? It's probably
oh, God, no.
Less than 1% of members of parties. You know, I know the Labour Party hit 500,000 or however many it was under Corbyn, but
falling
rapidly. It's not as many as it was then.
It's definitely not.
No.
But maybe also we should talk about now that the main difference between Labour and Conservative members, like, in and of themselves. My observation here, and I think this rings true after the end of the Corbyn era in particular, is Tory members, I think there is probably plenty of disagreement about what style of Conservative Party people would like to see. You know, you and I both have views on that, which probably, I would say, some of the older members of associations don't agree with, you know. Some want to see a very different type of Conservative Party to others.
Yeah.
But we all unite because we fundamentally want to win elections.
Yeah.
Whereas there is the classic left-wing thing of, like, we just want to talk in and amongst ourselves, which is, like, is not a new observation by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but that's the thing, you know. I'm not a purist. I want a good functioning government, whether that be local or national. That's what I want at the end of the day, and that is what is shared between what I'm going to say is our generation conservatives and the older generation conservatives.
Mm, definitely.
Whereas those on the left, particularly the hard left, will choose that purist, it's got to be done this very specific way. And I suppose The beauty of our position is it's very easy to say, oh, but they're good governance, etc. It's just so much easier to land on. You know, the bar is lower, ultimately.
Yes.
But, you know, obviously I didn't say that.
Yeah, I think it's valid. And so why, and we've kind of touched on this, why become a member of the Conservative Party? If you're political, like if you had say already vote Tory, you know, you live in like either one of those nice cushy majorities where it's like 30,000, or you vote Tory and you're in one of those seats where it's really not a 30,000 majority. Well, or it is, but it's for the other guys. What do you actually gain by joining the Conservative Party?
What do you gain? That's a good question.
Off the top of my head, we've already talked about like the community aspect of it, which I think is genuinely a big part, yes. And like feeling a part of your community, making a difference. You know, like I think you particularly get this, and people forget this to an extent, when you engage with the local politics, right? Like, so you're not trying to get your MP to vote on, you know, a piece of legislation which is like dear to your heart. What you're trying to do is get your local council to, you know, drop the price of parking, or you know, just put more bins on the street. Like, it's those local things that actually have a really deep impact on people's lives, but that aren't front and centre of newspapers every day. I think that's one of the big draws.
I'm sure there are some, and I've no doubt there are some that you know, think they can do a better job. And ultimately, you've got to join a party if you actually want to stand for election yourself. All our council candidates in the recent elections had to join the party prior to the election day, just in case they won by some miracle. I mean, some of them did, some of them didn't. And there's that, you know, you've got to put your money where your mouth is if you want to be a part of it in that sense. This is difficult, you know. Why do you become a member of the Conservative Party? It's quite a niche question. It's really hard to answer. I mean, our motivation was, at the beginning, we want that person to be Prime Minister. We want to be associated with it. And it developed into, oh my God, this actually gives us a few opportunities.
Yeah.
And we've reached a point in our lives where we don't need those opportunities. That original motivation has passed because we've obviously got a different party leader. In fact, we're two party leaders beyond and two Prime Ministers beyond. And yet I'm still there. And you are to a lesser extent. So why is that motivation in my life still there? And, you know, when people ask me when I keep losing elections, oh, do you think you'll do it again? Because, you know, you've lost enough times now. I do turn around and say, I suspect I'll do this every 2 to 4 years for the rest of my life. And why do I do that? Is it now just instinctive? Is it knee-jerk? Is it just something I enjoy? And actually, the truth is, yeah, I do enjoy a lot of aspects to it. I enjoy going around knocking on doors. And I do it from a much less partisan perspective now. I just want to understand what people are thinking when I go out and canvass and, you know, get an idea of of the politics on the ground. So I'm much less, oh, you've got to vote, go and vote Conservative. I'm more like, so who do you vote for and why?
I suspect people react to that better on the doorstep. I mean, you probably know more than me, but we've both done quite a serious amount of door knocking in our time. We really put in the hours, especially for the 2015 election, and you've continued doing it. And going to have those conversations with people on the doorstep is always interesting. And I am constantly texting you, asking for a sense check on, like, what do real people actually think? Because I find myself so, you know, surrounded by people that basically just read Playbook and The Times, and that's everything. That's the entire world. And it's and that's like the joy of it, right? Of being a member, of actually kind of going out and doing stuff and speaking to real human beings rather than people that live within 5 miles of the House of Commons.
Well, I mean, that's true. It's actually, being a member of the party is a mechanism for doing something really unusual, which is going out and knocking on random people's door and asking about their politics, which is possibly the oddest thing that you can go and do, because it is such a divisive thing to go and do. So there you go. You know, if you enjoy doing that sort of thing and want to know how people think, actually becoming a member of the party is the way to go out and about and do it legitimately without being seen as slightly different on your own.
If I just randomly, without the Conservative leaflet to hand them at the end of the conversation, or the intro to say, I'm just here on behalf of X, your local candidate. It would be insane, wouldn't it? I mean, that truly would be insane.
Yeah, you know, unless you're doing it on behalf of, you know, a polling company or something like that, which I think, I don't think they even go around knocking on doors anymore. But yeah,
not anymore.
Slightly mad. No. Should we go on to what the future of the membership is? Because we've kind of stumbled across a real problem of our motivation for still being involved. And actually, that leads quite nicely into what is the future of the membership of the Conservative Party. If fewer and fewer people are getting actively involved, you know, there are a lot of passive members. There are a lot of people, as I pointed to earlier, who want to identify with it and pay their little bit of money over, but don't want to become active members.
Definitely.
So what is the future of membership?
Okay. So I think, and this is from my kind of skeptic's point of view, and I'd be very interested to hear if you have a rebuttal because you are more involved with this stuff. My skeptic's point of view is I think we'll see a continuing decline in membership. I mean, that's been happening since I joined. You know, I've sat in the room where you know, people are doing the admin and just like going through the member lists, you know, calling up and saying, do you want to renew your membership because we haven't seen a check from you? Actually, no, I don't really. And sometimes that happens in, you know, real waves. I was working for the Conservatives when David Cameron put forward the same-sex marriage legislation, and there was a lot of resignations then. I mean, I personally think that cleared out a lot of dead wood, basically, that I was very happy to see go. Most of them went to UKIP, and God knows what they're doing now, probably watching GB News. And ageing membership is a big part of that. If you're not bringing younger people up through the ranks, it's very hard to de-age your membership, essentially, isn't it? I think they'll just continue to kind of grow older and slowly trickle away. Money. This is a point you've made to me before, and we can kind of do a deeper dive into this, but like the centralisation of Conservative memberships. Again, when I was sitting in those rooms, you know, doing the admin, helping people do the admin on this, it was like local membership. I was a member of the Central Devon Conservative Party. Probably not anymore, and we can talk more about that, I guess, in a minute.
No, I don't think you do. I don't think you join locally anymore. I think if you're a new joiner now, you join nationally, and you essentially get assigned to an association. And everything is administered from the centre, which has its positives and negatives, and maybe we shouldn't necessarily go into the specifics of it.
Yeah. And, you know, there are some very clear positives to it, in just in terms of retention and that kind of stuff. If you've got one dedicated team rather than 650, right? Like, that kind of makes a bit more sense, and it's easier to streamline, keeps costs down. I get it. Like, fine. And hopefully those local associations can still find out who those members are that have registered nationally and, like, still use them locally and all that kind of stuff. The final thing that is my predictions is that it will continue to get easier to kind of shape your local Conservative Party. And I say that because as the membership decreases, if you are young and want to get involved, I think it'll be so much easier and so many more doors will open to you than even than we had in like 2015, trying to set up the Bath, you know, the Conservative Future as it was then known, side of associations. I think it'll be easier to do that. I think you'll have more power, and I think you'll see better results now. So maybe we should run through like each of those. So what do you think about the declining membership point?
Everyone's always said that there's a declining membership of the Conservative Party in terms of absolute numbers, and I've no doubt there is a trickle out. I don't know to the greater or lesser extent because, you know, it's never been made publicly available.
Yeah.
There are obviously peaks when the membership actually, you know, really jumps up post-2015. The jump up happened post-2017. The jump up happened. People got really politically engaged and then decided to join, and definitely post or in the run up to 2019, you know, people just appeared that you'd never met because there was a general election going on that was suddenly very enthused about. And the sad thing is, you know, they tend to drift away pretty quickly afterwards, and that is largely more as a result of a lack of engagement from a functioning organization, i.e. association, than these people not wanting to be involved. And then they get forgotten. You know, you can't even remember their face, let alone their name. and drawing on them again in the future is more dependent on them springing back up because they're motivated by something that's happening nationally. So I think you're right to say that there will be a declining membership, but it's not inevitable that the membership will disappear.
Yeah.
You know, it is, the Conservative Party is still the governing party, and it's hugely successful at winning, and there will always be people who will want to dip into that for one reason or another.
I mean, is it just on local organisations, local associations, to keep people coming back and, like, keep running canvassing days, even when you don't have an election for, like, 3 years, you know? Like, do you just need to just keep that ball going? And then how do you do that, I guess? How do you even manage that feat?
Well, it works best, and I can say that because this is exactly what's going on at the moment here in Devon. It works best when you've got something to aim for, and that's something to aim for as an election. And we've had one district council by-election last week, and we've got two more coming up in a few weeks. And the Action Days have maintained some of the people that appeared for the May local elections. And when you have something that's a bit more exciting than let's go canvassing because we've got an election in 3 years' time.
Yes.
It's in 3 weeks, let's go and knock on some doors. That's what works. I mean, central office isn't going to reach out and organise a canvassing session in deepest, darkest depths of Cornwall
or
anything like that unless something like that is going on.
Sure.
And equally, the framework of the party has fewer and fewer employed campaign managers. In a similar vein, the Labour Party is going through that sort of drop-off of professional organisers. So it's not a huge surprise, and it speaks to why membership falls every now and then, but then picks back up in an election, because an election's much more exciting.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, the age of membership, I do think you're right. If you're young and involved now, you can pick up what happens and run with it. I've been astonished by the amount of influence, not necessarily control, but influence I have on a process nowadays. I mean, 4 weeks ago, I wrote the annual mission statement for our association and the 20-odd points that we want to achieve in the 12 months. I mean, chances are we'll achieve precisely zero of them, but
you do yourself down.
Even being able to see that, even being able to see that document 3 or 4 years ago just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
and this is something that, by the constitution of the party, has to be delivered.
I mean, that is so interesting, because I didn't even know those kind of documents existed, that local associations had to do that. I mean, I don't know if it was just lack of transparency, and, you know, it's fair to say I've been, you know, friendly with, like, local association chairs and all that kind of stuff in the past. And just by the nature of, you know, as you get more involved, you do just get to know these people and the walls come down a bit, right? But I don't know. I've never seen those, like, inner workings. The real good
stuff.
Well,
they're usually done by people who have been involved for a very long time and just do it quietly behind the scenes. That's my view of how it gets done, typically. And they are quite powerful because, you know, they set the tone of the approach of the executive and therefore the management committee and the others that do sign things off. You know, these are the people that spend the money ultimately and choose the candidates, particularly parliamentary ones. So it's not, you know, it's not a small piece to do.
Should we move on to, like, what developments do we want to see? I mean, these are the things that are happening, and I feel like we've covered that well. But what would we change?
What would we change about the membership of the Conservative Party?
Yeah, or even I mean, let's go back to what you said. What would we like to try and influence? You know, if there was a survey on, like, what do you want to see out of Conservative membership? What are we writing in the box?
Us specifically, or every other member that we assume would.
Well, let's think about us.
I know, they're two very different things, aren't they?
Yeah, let's think about us, and then let's speak on everybody else's behalf in a minute. Once we've decided what we want, I will say, I would like to see, and this is the, like, technical geekery point of things, I would like to see a little bit more communication between CCHQ and associations, but I know that's like the blanket want from every association all across the country, or we never hear enough from CCHQ, or CCHQ are far too involved. But I would love to hear more about the vote source development side of things. Vote source is so critical, I feel like, to not just managing your association, but like actually at election time, going out and doing stuff. We've both spent a lot of time entering data and all of that good stuff. And even on Merlin, well, that was what it was called before vote source, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. And then I think it was something else. Pre-2004, wasn't it?
We've both spent a lot of time with these systems, and like they have got so much better than they used to be. Oh my god. But like, there's more work to do, right? And CCHQ must be looking at that and must be thinking about that. And I would love to have that, you know, more of a dialogue about it, basically, and like shape that side of the membership, because it's so important. And I'm sure we'll come on, you know, in future episodes to talk more about data and collecting VI and trying to get your numbers up and all that kind of stuff. I would love to see a bit more interaction there.
Vote source is interesting. It's come on a lot. I mean, I don't know when you last used it, but I...
2015.
2015. See, I use it pretty consistently now because everything is managed through it. Absolutely everything is owned and controlled by vote source. And, I mean, the cynic in an association would say that's because the central party want to pay attention to everything that's going on and keep tabs on it.
Yeah.
And there are kind of valid reasons for that, I'm sure. I really like it. You know, there's an app nowadays. You don't even have to print off these reams of sheets to go out canvassing. You just set something up in your app, you log
it's
in.
It's a very green conservative party these days, isn't it? Now we've
very green conservative.
I do remember that was green. The great promise of vote source was that eventually we'd all be walking around with iPads, and instead of filling in the sheet, and then some poor, you know, the chairman of the association, I remember Bath, used to do it, and you know, just like endless data entry. That was always the great promise, but I don't know if it's. I think that it's nicer if you're talking to someone on the doorstep that they don't appear to be on a tablet or on their phone. I still think it's nice if you actually see them scribbling something on a clipboard, but maybe I'm just a bit old-fashioned.
No, I agree with you. You know, I almost kind of miss that, because we used to go out with these 40-40 surveys, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And the first question on your 40-40 survey was, what are your local issues? And you would cover that sheet in local issues.
100%.
And it was almost a piece of theatre, because you were paying attention to what they were saying and feeding it straight back. It was beyond theatre. Now, on your app, you can't do that. You know, the question is, the question is, are you voting for us? If not...
Who do you think you might be voting for?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, those 40-40 sheets were brilliant for that long campaign.
They were fantastic. And I guess that's the point. Like, it was such a long campaign, and because of the opposition at the time, there was such a specific attack line to take, right? Because of how Ed Miliband was viewed, or how... Was it Tim Farron that was the leader of the Lib Dems in 2015?
No, it's Nick Clegg. It's Nick Clegg.
Oh, God, of course it was. How did I forget that?
Yeah.
You mean Facebook's their very own Nick Clegg? Yeah, I mean, because the attack lines were so specific... Like, that was so easy to generate those sheets. I mean, obviously you can't do that for, like, every local by-election. I mean, I wish that you could, right? That we had enough data to be like... So now, apart from, you know, what would you prefer? You know, chaos with Ed Miliband? Or whoever your local, you know, Labour by-election candidate is versus our great by-election candidate who we've definitely heard.
Are we digressing from membership?
We are digressing from membership.
But it's funny, you know, are we running out of things to talk about membership? Because, you know, the tangible benefits of membership are so minimal, really.
Mm.
They really are. But it's...
Yeah. And it feels like one of those things where, like, if you become a member and you enjoy, you know, your first outing as a member, as it were, you know, your first election where you're really engaged, or, you know, you really start to make some friends within the membership group, and therefore your social circle starts to become a member, like, you remain engaged, because ultimately... What is it? Is it £25 a year to be a member? Or is it slightly more? But it's something around there. It's not, you know, it's nowhere near £100, right? It's not you know, in the grand scheme of things, a huge investment each year if you are getting enough out of it in terms of social life or opportunities for work, etc., etc. It's a good investment, and so you just remain a member. And that's, and that, maybe that's the point of what we're trying to say. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't be better, and that we couldn't change different things about it to try and improve that experience or, like, help the party help itself.
I enjoy being a member of the party. I do enjoy being a member of the party. Mm. You know, I'm part of something else. Whether I agree with it all the time or not, it's not just, you know, it's not just me living my life on my own. It's a big part of my life, ultimately. And I think for those who do end up in the position that I am, being involved in the association to the point where you put yourself forward as an officer, etc., it does become an extension of who you are. You know, everyone I end up meeting, every interview I go to, blah, 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 blah. Some point it comes out, unless I know it doesn't need to come out, and then keep quiet about it. Thank you very much for listening. If indeed you did listen, I don't know how many people are listening to this by now. I think Conservative Party membership, or any political party membership, is something that is absolutely worthwhile, and you won't quite realise it until you've been completely sucked into it. Is that fair, Sam?
I think that's very fair. I'm going to go and join up right now, Tom.
Sign up. Joinconservatives.com. Amar.